Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
11:01, hour number two of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the Show Hughley. That there is my partner, Joshua Lamont Vernier, and Steve Serta is producing this bad boy. Show and Vern is presented by the good people at Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclynn.com. And remember, you are listening to the longest running, fastest growing midday sports show in all of Kansas City radio. And I think we all need to, whether you're driving, walking, sitting, just stand up and give Dayton Moore an applause. Give him his due. Because I would say, Vern, the biggest criticism, and I think even you would have to agree since you've been here, the biggest criticism of Dayton Moore, even through his years of getting to World Series, is his inability to consistently, I mean, anywhere close to consistently get starting pitching, especially homegrown starting pitching. And I would say that I think it's fair, right? I think most of it has been fair. And the reason why is because Dayton Moore is no Alan Baird. Dayton Moore is no Bob Sutton. Dayton Moore, to me, is the next Hall of Famer for the Kansas City Royals. I think for him as an executive, he should go into the Hall of Fame. Listen, man, you get this organization and you lead this team to back-to-back World Series and win a championship and be the architect and change the game how he did to me with bullpens. Like, I think you should go to the Hall of Fame. So then I judge you differently than I would an Alan Baird. I have a level higher, much higher, at a Hall of Fame level of how I judge you. So I think it's fair. But we criticize him for his mishaps, but I think we need to give him credit for this with Brad Keller. Now, I'm not saying Brad Keller is going to be a one or a two. I think there's something still there that we need to learn with that. But he is shown to be a workhorse. The Royals are going to stop him from getting to 200 innings. I think he would get to 200 innings, and it seems like his body is reacting well to that, and he could do that. They're slowing him down, hence why they pulled him out after, I think, 79 pitches yesterday. But he's at least shown to you he could be a three. He's at least shown to me that he could be, I think, a better version at least of Jeremy Guthrie, who was a horse in terms of innings for this team. So I think we have criticized him, and I think mostly fairly, for how he has handled starting pitching and developing it, but I think we got to give him credit right here. Rule 5 draft.
Yeah, that's where I disagree. I don't know how fair it ever was to begin with. I thought it was much overblown. It was very narrow-minded. It was very tunnel vision.
His time here from the beginning.
Okay, but how many teams can you rattle off countless pitchers that have been developed and were you got Duffy, Yordano Ventura's passing, right? You identified Jake Odorizzi as a talent. He became something. You drafted Mike Montgomery. He turned into something.
He's not a starter. I mean, he hasn't been a successful starter, right?
Who is the team that you're comparing him to? Who is the general manager that you go, man, this dude just continues to find pitcher after pitcher after pitcher? I think Dayton Moore is as good as anyone else. He's not the best. Certainly not the worst. Again, he's right in the middle. You look at that championship team and the way that you acquired Ben Zobrist and Johnny Cueto, the decision to go and bring in Edinson Volquez and saying he can work here. To me, the eye for pitching is more than just drafting and developing. It's identifying, coupling that with your pitching coach and finding quality arms. Wade Davis was turned from a starter into a quality reliever. We can't pick and choose what Dayton gets credit for on the pitching side. Does he get Herrera? Does he get Holland? Does he get what James Shields ultimately was?
But we're talking about starting pitching. And as I said, I measure him differently. And I think the Cardinals over the time that Dane's been here, what, 10 years? It's got to be getting close to a decade. The Cardinals have been much better with starting pitching. The Yankees have been. The Red Sox have been. The Rays in turn.
I feel like you're just saying good teams that acquired good arms via trades and whatnot.
But they've also developed them, too.
I can't think of many names from the Red Sox. And the Rays, that's countless different general managers that you're citing there. The Dodgers, they got Clayton Kershaw. Walker Buehler's been nice. But again, that's, again, a number of different regimes. That's not one general manager that gets credit for all of that. If we look at Dayton Moore, his track record is as good as anyone else's in the game when it comes to developing pitchers. I think if Yordano Ventura doesn't have that tragic accident, this narrative could possibly be quite different. But I don't think we're in our own world here in Kansas City, and we don't acknowledge the other teams in the division, the other teams in the league, and I really don't see
many teams
that are just just rolling out big arms after big arms. The Indians, fine. Corey Kluber came from the Padres. Bauer came from the Diamondbacks.
But in any way that you're talking about, through trades,
okay,
through
development. Well, then Dane's got to get credit for Odorizzi. He's got to get credit for Manaea. He's got to get credit for a lot of guys that didn't flourish here in Kansas City.
I'm not taking credit away from those. From him. I'm just talking about
that's
overall,
why the narrative I don't think was fair to begin with.
Overall, I think it has been fair. I think that has been his Achilles heel. And that's what's made it to me more amazing.
But that's the toughest thing to find in the game, right?
Sure.
Saying cornerback is that 90% of general managers in the NFL's Achilles heel.
And
it's just hard to find them.
And as I led off, his greatness in what he does, I think holds him, in my opinion, to a higher level of expectation. And with that, a Hall of Fame guy, I look at him and I think he would be better at that.
Well, then maybe that's an unfair assessment right out of the gate say that I'm going to hold him to a Hall of Fame standard when there's, four or five general managers in the Hall of Fame, guys that all have multiple World Series rings with multiple different organizations. Maybe you should temper your expectations for Dayton Moore and not treat him as if he's something that he's not.
He's
done it in one place.
I think he is that. I think he is great. And I personally don't feel like I need to temper that because I think he is deserved to get that. And I give him credit for this Brad Keller thing. Finding the Brad Keller and finding the piece here, we have given him, I think, fair criticism, but this one, I think we should applaud.
This segment of Show and Vern presented by Mazarese Jewelry, four generations of distinctive jewelry located in Leawood. Patrick Mahomes, once again yesterday, Ron, I'm telling you, the idea of him being a Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan kind of driven.
Here you go.
An MJ, Kobe, Tom Brady type of crazy. I'm telling you, it is inside of him. He was asked this question yesterday about how do you not get complacent after an MVP season?
Until you win that Super Bowl, I don't think you can be complacent with anything. Being that close last year, you want to find a way to win it. And until you're able to do that and able to do it multiple times, you're never going to be complacent with where you're at.
I thought it was just filler because a lot of what Patrick Mahomes says turns out to just be filler. What am I supposed to say? Okay, I'll say it to appease the reporters, to appease the fans. I'll give you that perfect quote because that's what I am. I'm a machine with perfect quotes. That's how it starts off. But when he mentions at the end, and do it multiple times, winning multiple plural Super Bowls, that to me shows, and if you watch the video, obviously you can't see it. You can see him kind of go to a place while answering this question. You can see him focusing on something in the distance, and you can tell what that is. That's greatness. That's immortality. That's the Hall of Fame. That crazy is inside of Patrick Mahomes, and it comes through when he talks about not winning one Super Bowl, but winning multiple Super Bowls. And it wasn't in a joshing manner the way that LeBron James's not six, not seven was in Miami. Patrick Mahomes is cut from a different cloth. He is putting that pressure on his shoulders, and he understands what it's going to take for him to be truly remembered in this game, and that's winning multiple Super Bowls. Man, he's talked about winning one before. A lot of guys on this team talk about winning one, Ron. Not too many people that I've heard in my experiences talk about winning multiple Super Bowls. That should get you sports horny, because God knows that's where I'm at.
Definitely has done it for you. Yeah, I mean, I love you. You're going to force this come hell or high water.
Oh, you don't hear it the same way?
No. I mean, I can see you in the place that you are about Patrick Mahomes wanting him to be competitively crazy, like people we've never seen before in Tom Brady and Michael Jordan. Yeah. You quit trying to make that man what he's not, man. You know.
Quit telling that man what he isn't.
You know, Pat.
How about you do the? How about you take your own damn advice and stop telling this young man what he can be? He is 23 years of age.
He's telling
you. He has the world at his fingertips.
He's telling you by what he's doing. He's competitive. He's more LeBron James competitive.
No, that's just what you want him to be because you got it for LeBron.
It's just what he's shown. Right? He's not. I mean,
he takes things a lot more serious than LeBron does.
He's not cut from that cloth.
Not out here doing Taco Tuesday and all that crap.
And it's not wrong with it. Oh, no, man. But he's not doing that. When have you?
No, he's not doing any Taco Tuesday crap. He's not out here laughing and on some banana boat with his buds. It's not him and Garrett Dieter on a damn banana boat.
No, they just be on boats with Chris Conley. And they girls, you don't see them out here doing stuff with Brittany.
That was a fresh shot. That was
fine,
too.
Doing stuff with Brittany out here with Chick-fil-A staring her down. Come on,
no, that was in his video. That was in a weekly video that he does. That was his girlfriend taking a video of him.
You know what Tom and Mike would have said? Juana, don't you dare. Don't you dare post that. Don't you dare post that. Don't make me look like that.
Now, you don't know. You don't know that. Michael Jordan wasn't around in Instagram times.
Bad.
Tom Brady can't get enough of Twitter.
And it's sad because you know it.
Tom Brady's got a social media team.
It's sad because you know the fact that this cat always says everything right.
But that's my point, Ron. It's not – he had an out. Listen to it again. He didn't have to mention multiple Super Bowls. He chose to.
Until you win that Super Bowl, I don't think you can be complacent with anything. Being that close last year, I mean, you want to find a way to win it. And until you're able to do that and able to do it multiple times, I mean, you're never going to be complacent with where you're at.
He didn't have to give you that at the end.
You're reading.
He did not have to give you that at the end. Pat,
you're reading way too
much
into it.
I see it, buddy. Patrick.
He knows what to say. He knows what to say.
Pat, if you're listening, I got you. Pay no attention to Ron. I understand what's inside of you. Continue to feed it. It needs to grow. It's at a good place for 23. I can't wait to see where it's at when you're 27.
Yeah, man, Pat, man, just keep living your life, man. Keep building those shoe closets, man. Keep doing you, man. Keep recording everything. Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
He doesn't record everything. You're making crap up.
You don't have to be a crazy person, right?
But he wants to be because
you're the one who said Pat is faking basketball games, faking like he's playing at gyms. That's
right.
Something that Crazy Jordan would do.
Yes.
That's something that Crazy.
Yes, that's he wasn't playing baseball. What the hell are you talking about?
He was playing real baseball. He wasn't faking it. He wasn't getting the camera. You're the one who came in and said, look at him. He's over there getting the camera shot. Just right. Like, get out of here, man. He's in a different place. There's nothing wrong with that, though.
You go ahead and you pretend like you know how a 23-year-old is going to turn out. You go right ahead and put a ceiling on this young man. Pat, you're limitless, young man.
You see the cycle early. You see it early. Come on out tomorrow, all right? Your last chance tomorrow. You could register at 610sports.com for a free workout with Orange. With Orange Theory Fitness, we'll be out there tomorrow. I'm not going to be out there. In Leawood. Hopefully, Serta or Vern comes out. But we'll be out there at the location in Leawood. I'm going to be working out 30, 40, 45 consecutive minutes.
No, it's 45. You said 45 all week. Don't start coming at me with this 30
crap. It could be 30 to 45 minutes. We'll be working out. You get a chance to come out. You can work out with me. It could be very comical. Who knows? I may pass out. Knock on wood, if you're with me. I'm not sure. You don't know what happens, but you can come out, hang out with me. And then afterwards, for your workout, we get to do a little nice taste testing with Michelob, try some beers. So working out, potentially helping uplift me or make fun of me. You can even call me Ronald McDonald if you come out. But we'll hang out, get a workout in, and then drink some beers afterwards. Remember, register at 610sports.com with your chance to win a free workout. with Orange Theory Fitness.
Yesterday, Frank Clark was asked about adjusting to this new defense, how he's done, how his teammates have been doing.
I feel like everyone's adjusting well. You know, Coach Spags, he's done a great job in being patient with us. You know, we have to be patient with him as well, but he's done a great job being patient with us. You know, it's a new system. You know, you usually see teams come in with new systems, you know, their first year, and they have bad seasons. You know, most teams that come in, one of the new coordinator has bad seasons. One thing that Coach Spags has been continuously preaching to us is, you know, we want to be the opposite of that. We want to come in, you know, all spring, he wants us to grab this new concept, grab the new defense, you know, and take it all by storm. And I feel like the guys have done an excellent job doing that. You know, from the back end to the front end.
You and I have both acknowledged just how quality of a leader it appears Frank Clark is. If a guy that comes from the Seattle background that seems to have the knowledge that Frank Clark has, if he is willing to point out how most teams struggle in year one with a new defense, most individuals struggle in year one with a new defense. Man, I think that's all you need to point to when it comes to something that Fesco's been talking about for months now, that it's going to take a while before this Steve Spagnuolo defense is running like a finely oiled machine. I feel like all Chiefs fans, as I mentioned yesterday, there's no reason for real concern until later on in the regular season, until like week nine. And if you don't believe me, listen to Frank Clark. You got to give this defense some kind of a leash for them to learn one another, to learn the defense, and to no longer be thinking about what to do, as you like to say, just reacting on what to do out there on the field. There's got to be some sort of a leash with this defense from Chiefs fans. Understand that it's going to be a work in project, a work in progress for at least 8-9 weeks of the season.
Yeah, but it seems like from you with that leash that I believe they get. And I will say this right now, man, I feel like they you damn near feel like they feel as comfortable as any of them felt last year in Bob's defense, because that was a big problem of them not really understanding even late into the year exactly what it is they were doing. They were still confusing. I feel like they feel real comfortable now in this defense, and they're far further, much further along than they were out of training camp last year. But with that leash does not mean that there is a concern. And with that leash does not mean that there is a guarantee that things that are an issue in week four won't be an issue at the end of the season. Right? Like, if you think like, okay, they're in this new defense, they're going to get better. Well, I think I look at some of the players last year that were in a new defense. I don't know how much better they got as the year went on.
Don't compare to last year. Last year's a completely different scenario.
But I think you could compare the terms of learning and changing within a defense. Like,
don't you believe Spags will adjust more than, not more than Bob, don't you think Spags will adjust?
But I'm not just talking about that he will adjust. There's a, like, I think this defense will be better. But to say that, all right, hey, because in week one, we know there shouldn't be any worry that we know after week one, by week 13, these players will translate, that there's no worry that they won't make improvements, because you never know how people respond to a new defense or respond to those things. As I watched last year, Anthony Hitchens, it never. And this was a guy who was a good linebacker.
Right, again, but Sutton didn't make the proper adjustments.
But it's not just about Sutton. He didn't adjust to the defense. Like, he never got better in his play with the defense from week one and on. Now, I'm not going to say the coaching didn't have anything to do with it, but I'm talking about them as specific players never improved, right? And I'm not saying that they will make leaps. I'm just not saying I'm completely comfortable in guaranteeing that the fact that they will make leaps and bounds and get better from week one, because you really need it from these players that you don't know as much well from. Because a lot of these players, man, Frank Clark, man, I mean, he's going to be what I think he has been. So there's not a really huge leap you think you're going to make there. Chris Jones, you would almost imagine, but probably step back. These players you're looking at, maybe like Charvarius Ward or Thornhill when he gets in, that they make big steps. And I'm not completely 100% sure that those guys will make enormous steps from week one to week 12.
Okay, but you have to give them time. There's no reason to bug out when Charvarius Ward has a rough go against Antonio Brown in week two. No reason to worry when Juan Thornhill still is thinking in week three.
Yeah, but
you have to trust the coaching to not only adjust to their weaknesses, but to put them in positions to succeed. That's the definition of coaching, and we have to believe that the coaching has improved this season.
I just disagree with the theory that you have of fans or people who are watching the team shouldn't have concern of it. If you watch them in the first 8 weeks, I think is what you have used the last 2 days, the first 8 weeks. No, because those things can continue to be an issue. I've seen it not just with the Chiefs. I've seen it with other teams. Those things can continue to be an issue. Like, we could be looking at the same Charvarius Ward, and isn't it a blame on the coaching staff or to say, like, hey, man, just have faith. Oh, you can have faith, but there can still be worry and concern if you're a Chiefs fan that Charvarius Ward is still going to have a lot of the problems that he had at the start of the season, if it is.
You talking about that lingering problems, problems in week one consisting of the same problems in week 11. It reminds me of what I heard yesterday from your guy, Les Miles. Now, don't do what I'm sure you want to do, and that is tell everyone that I hate KU. No, I want to give Kansas and Les Miles some credit. You do. I told you that Les Miles, my only request of him this season was to look like a competent football team. Just stop making the same mistakes. Be a fundamentally sound college football program. So when I hear energetic Les at the mic yesterday talking about this, I think he deserves some applause.
You know, I'm barking about penalties. We still had a couple of motion penalties, but we were much less in pass interference, and really, for that matter, much less in motion penalties. So I think there's improvement there, and I know that there's a strong want to do that and be a quality football team.
See, there's a desire to be a quality football team. There you go, Les. Les also implementing the new Hawk Walk, as players 2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff will be dropped off at the corner of the stadium, and they will walk through the campus and through the south perimeter and into the stadium. Fans can line the walk and cheer on their Jayhawks. Les, if you're listening, I do, as a friend, want to give you a little update.
You're not his friend.
I consider myself a friend with Leslie. Leslie, little heads up. That Hawk Walk you're going to be doing, there might not be people there to line the Hawk Walk. And that could be a real tough look if it's just kids walking by themselves into the stadium.
And there it is.
I mean, come on, that's going to backfire big time, isn't it? 2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff. They think there's that many Jayhawk football fans that are going to line this walk to cheer on the kids.
He's got some real excitement going in the program. And unless you start your culture change. And
I'm just looking out, Les.
And the Hawk Walk. And no one, you're not a friend of his. I know it.
I'm just here to help, bud.
What an ass. Coming up, your chance to win a pair of Rivalry Renewed tickets coming up is in this next segment. And I know this is going to hurt you, Serta, and you know I hate doing that because I love you. But Baker, man, he has so much to learn from Patrick Mahomes.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Welcome back to Show and Burn. 25 minutes of uninterrupted sports entertainment starts right now.
Sorry to do this to you, Serta, but everyone in Kansas City, like, you're not a homer if you think this, man. Baker Mayfield has so much to learn, and he really needs to look no further than Patrick Mahomes. And we talk about so many things and so many reasons of why the Chiefs and Chiefs fans are so lucky to have Patrick Mahomes. Like, when you look at Baker Mayfield and understand the things that he doesn't just seem to get, Vern, it is so evident. This GQ article where he's talking about other quarterbacks and Daniel Jones, and then he's responding to it, and he is creating so much damn noise, right? He is so much noise. And the thing he needs to remember, and it is something that Patrick Mahomes has grasped right from the beginning. I don't know, Vern. Maybe it's because of his godfather and his father have been professional athletes and he's been around it. Maybe that's why he's understood this quick. I think that's an excuse. Like, you're a quarterback, stupid. Remember that. You're a quarterback, stupid. Like, let me say this. I understand why there are some athletes, Vern, who make noise. Because making noise can be very, very lucrative. Like, you can get a better deal, or you can have a better place in the league to make more money if you create noise. I think Antonio Brown has made a lot of money because he creates noise and he's a story. He's gotten endorsements that probably he wouldn't get if he were quiet. What did I tell you earlier today? Man, Dennis Rodman was collecting, you remember him in Detroit, 15, 16 rebounds a game. Then he was wearing dresses and coloring his hair, and it became a bigger deal and made him more money. But quarterbacks don't have to do that. Like, that's like the one position where you don't have to create noise to get endorsements. You don't have to create noise to get more money to become a bigger brand. You don't. Man, you just got to play. You get it. Tom Brady just gets it, and he doesn't create noise. Peyton Manning doesn't create noise. He gets it. You don't have to do that. Dion had to create noise to build his brand to make himself bigger. And I understand it. Hell, Chris Jones, maybe you can let that personality out more because you're not a quarterback. But quarterbacks don't have to do what Baker is doing to create brand and make their lives more lucrative. And he just doesn't seem to get that. Pat's getting head and shoulders endorsements. Pat's getting all of these endorsements. And he's not loud. And he'll continue it. His play was good. Baker's play has been good. As Serta said, he set the rookie touchdown record. Like, he's going to be a good quarterback. But he does not have to create this noise to make his brand bigger. You're a quarterback. You don't have to do that.
I agree that he could learn things from Patrick Mahomes about being the franchise player and being a professional and stuff like that. But maybe that's just who Baker is. So I don't think that just because it's the way everybody's always been a quarterback, that means that's how you have to go be a quarterback. Baker can be whoever the hell he wants to be.
Yeah, I think Baker is, he's just doing exactly what like Jalen Ramsey is doing. I think he's seeking out to take out other people. He's commenting too much on other stuff for no reason. It feels to me not like Baker. This is just who Baker. It feels like Baker is trying to build a brand and make himself bigger.
I can see both sides of it. I can understand if Baker is the kind of guy that needs friction, that needs people mad at him, that needs that kind of attention because he gets fuel from it. I could imagine that. I don't think he really needs to learn from Patrick Mahomes because that ship has sailed. I think he should continue to undertake this mentorship underneath the wing of Ben Roethlisberger. The issue for Baker Mayfield is, and this is what drives me nuts, is when he says, oh, I was taken out of context with what I said about Daniel Jones. Man, everyone seems to be taking you out of context. You get mad at Colin Cowherd. You get mad at this reporter. You get mad at this reporter. Just eventually he'll learn from his mentor, Ben Roethlisberger, and just cut the media off. If you don't want to be taken out of context, well, then don't do all of these additional interviews. I hate when athletes like Kevin Durant, like Baker Mayfield, when they bitch about the media endlessly and then seek out the media to further
Kyrie
their own
that.
Business. Exactly.
Like, I'm serious. I want to pose this to you two. And I don't know what they're saying, the family is saying on the text line. I want to pose this to you two. Like, you don't think that Baker enjoys himself being in the news like this? When he continued to go after Hugh.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Like, when he continued to go after him.
Hugh Jackson, the former coach.
When he continued to do that, like, it felt like he just enjoyed being in the spotlight. Like, he loves this come hell or high water, just like Jalen Ramsey. And I understand why Jalen Ramsey does it. He's a corner. That, to me, has made Jalen feel like a bigger deal. Warren Sapp, a defensive tackle, his personality and everything he did made him become and feel like a bigger deal. And I think he made more money off of it. But quarterbacks are so effing lucky that they don't have to do that. They don't have to to make themselves loud if their play matches it.
But that goes to Serta's point of this guy could need it as fuel. Again, this is Freddie Kitchens on Baker Mayfield.
I think Baker, he's always been told no, all right? And so when people are always told no, they have a sense of, I'm going to show you yes. And I think that's what has been his calling card. And I love that about him. I love that about the Cleveland
so,
fans.
So basically, he needs to feel, I need to prove someone wrong. I need more and more people against me. I always need to be on the defensive because if I get comfortable, I'm going to suck. I feel like Baker needs that. And if that ever stops, we could see a real bad Baker both on and off the field.
I think he should have trashed Hugh Jackson even more than he did. All
right. Yeah, you're not being serious. Yeah, I just, he has a thirst for it, man. He has a thirst, and he seems to me trying to build
it's
something
great.
Just like these wide receivers, just like corners. And I understand why they do that, because it makes them – you can't tell me that Antonio Brown hasn't been able to benefit for all the noise and action that he creates. They weren't running at Larry Fitzgerald to be on the Masked Singer. Like, yeah, I think he creates friction, as you said, and noise around him, but I understand why they have to do it. Quarterbacks just don't have to. And he seems to have a thirst for it. It's crazy.
But especially working in the media, we have always asked for that quarterback who will just say something, who will be interesting and say something interesting and entertaining. Baker's finally that guy.
No.
And everybody's criticizing
him.
No,
but that's the point, though. No, you...
You've asked for it, but you're also an idiot.
But sir, we're not talking about what the hell we want. I'd like for Pat to come out and just whip it out on the table. All that right. would be news for us. That would be something for us to discuss. But just because the media wants someone to act an ass doesn't mean that that is in their best interest to do it.
Let's put Serta to work. Let's give away a pair of tickets to Rivalry Renewed.
Sorry, less sex, more sports. I didn't mean to.
Friday, August 30th, Hy-Vee Arena. Not this Friday, next Friday at Hy-Vee Arena. KU alums take on MU alums. K-State alums take on Arkansas alums. We got two tickets. If you want them, be caller 10 right now. 913-576-7610. Caller number 10, you win a pair of tickets to Hy-Vee Arena and Rivalry Renewed August 30th. The night before is the VIP player party at Repeal 18th. That's Thursday, August 29th, the VIP player party. But again, Rivalry Renewed 2, Hy-Vee Arena coming up on August 30th.
Boy, what I have taken, one of the top things that I have taken from this Oakland Raiders Hard Knocks, Kansas City Chiefs fans are going to despise this Hunter Renfrow kid. I mean, he is, I can see it. If you've watched him, I can see it now over the next few years. He is going to be a kid that the Chiefs fans are going to hate. Like, he's a good route runner, and he is a smart player, and he did it at Clemson, and he'll do it in Oakland. He finds a way to get open, and when you just look at him, and you look at his receding hair, and he's like 22 years old, 23 years old, and he would dream to have what Vern has right now. It just looks bad.
Just shut up and make your point.
And when
man.
You look at him, you look at him and you think, how in the hell is he beating us? And he's that scrappy kid that you'd love if he was on your team, but you hate because he's not on your team and you don't understand why he keeps beating you, but he does. Like, he is going to be someone that Chiefs fans are going to despise. That's one of the number one things that I picked up. I saw the last two episodes. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, but what does the hairline have to do with anything?
It goes more to
like,
the look
what
of...
What did that need to be brought up in your
because
soliloquy? And why did you put my name in it?
Because he would. I mean, I looked over, and I can tell he would dream to have, to wish that he'd have what you have. Because it goes more to the look of, really, this guy's beating us?
Little white guy.
This guy, this receding hairline kid,
so.
This guy's beating us?
I'm taking all this personally.
Why? I'm just saying. I'm not.
So I don't think Chiefs
know
fans will
man.
Hate
oh,
Hunter
they're
Renfrow.
Gonna hate that kid. They're gonna come away from games. How the hell did this son of a beat us? How? How does he keep getting open?
As long as he's not a jerk like because, Julian Edelman.
No, but see, Julian Edelman has...
People didn't hate Wes Welker.
Julian, yeah, but he wouldn't play for the Raiders. He didn't play for the Raiders, and that wasn't the rivalry with the Chiefs. Like, you're going to see this kid twice a year.
Hold up. This ain't no rivalry, and this ain't about to be any kind of rivalry. No, there's no... No, you're not going to hate Chiefs. Hunter Renfrow. You're going to hate that Abrams kid because he's going to try and knock Patrick Mahomes out of the game.
You're going to hate him, too, but it is a rivalry. All right, it's not the rivalry that it was, all but right. The Chiefs and Raiders, especially coming from here, Chiefs fans still hate the Raiders, and that kid is going to be a, oh, my God, I can see it. I can see it. How in the hell did we let that little Opie Taylor beat us?
Oh, we won by 14. Oh, my God, and Opie Taylor had a good game.
How the hell, watch. Oh, I can see it. He just screams.
So are Raiders fans going to hate Cody Thompson?
Well, he's not going to play. He's got the makings.
Like it's just because we scoff at guys that look like Hunter Renfrow and Brandon Stokely. And
he's right, Julian Edelman.
No,
he's Cole Beasley. He's that annoying guy. He's going to get routes.
Why is he annoying?
Because you don't think playmakers.
You don't think he should be beating you. You don't think he should be beating you.
He's going to have 10 catch games for 71 yards.
He is, man, and he's going to score two touchdowns.
What? And then they still lose by three scores.
We'll see. We'll see down the line. As you said, the NFL changes. You told me that when the Chiefs are going to run.
Don't you dare compare him to Cooper Kupp. He is no Cooper Kupp.
Who are you talking to? Are you talking to the text line right now?
No, he is.
For God's sakes, man.
You know he is. I'm just saying, man, he has the elements. Like, I don't even put Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman he's been able to get after models. He's got a look that's not as.
Right, why he's hateable.
He looks worried. You can breathe letting Julian Edelman beat you with Tom Brady. God, man. It's hard to let that kid who's got that receding hairline at 21. And it is hard to let that kid beat you.
Well,
oh, God.
Here we go again. Ron's all in on the Raiders.
I didn't say.
The Raiders are creeping on a come up. Here they come. Oh, boy. Hunter Renfrow and Derek Carr taking over for the 1-9.
I'm not going to let you get me. And you can confuse these people if you want to.
What are you talking about? He's annoying because he's a good player?
You saw that Clemson highlight reel. He is a clutch player. He's
going
to make plays.
Yes, he's clutch, and he's going to make plays, and he's going to leave you like, how in the hell did we let this guy who looks like my uncle beat us?
You being serious? You have an uncle that looks like Hunter Renfrow?
I don't, but I'm just saying it could be people in Kansas City who believe
it. I did not see that coming. I did not see a member of the Hughley family looking like Hunter Renfrow.
That kid looks like he played on Friday nights in high school. He looked like he was in the Rockhurst-Blue Springs game, and he's beating us.
Congratulations to Ed in Tecumseh. You walk away with a pair of tickets to Rivalry Renewed 2. It's coming up August 30th out at Hy-Vee Arena. Last night, Royals fall. Bullpen sucked. Brad Keller was absolutely fantastic, but was yanked out of the game after just 6 innings and 79 pitches. Ned saying after the game and before the game, we're going to protect this kid, right? We don't want to see a drastic drop off in 2020. Man, I got to give Ned Yost some credit on this because the guy that I first started covering in Milwaukee would have never done this. And I don't believe that Ned Yost himself wanted to take Brad Keller out of the game last night. But the difference that we've all seen in Ned Yost, it's pretty simple, and he's acknowledged this. He's now open-minded. He's willing to listen to assistant coaches. He's willing to listen to bench coaches and members of the front office. Because the decision to be careful with Brad Keller's innings spits in the face of everything that Ned Yost's beliefs are. Everything that he was raised on in this game of baseball says you continue to send Brad Keller out there for the 7th, 8th, and see if this young man can finish the game. But analytics will tell you that when you make a debut season as a starting pitcher, if in year 2 you jump by 50, 60 innings, there is going to be a precipitous drop-off in year number 3. Tommy John surgery being number 1, that's always something that Tom Verducci writes about every single year, the year 3 Tommy John candidates. That's why they're protecting Brad Keller. I don't believe that Ned Yost truly buys it, but he's much more open-minded and listening to the analytics. And at his age, I think that deserves some. And in that sport, Ron, you know how staunchy these baseball men can be. For him to be that open-minded, I think deserves a round of applause.
So you think it's more growth of Ned? Because when I saw it, I thought, like, yeah, Ned doesn't want to do this, but this feels like this is coming from higher than him. This feels like this was a decision, and I think Ned's a part of the decision and the conversation, but I think this was a decision that many people, including, I think, Dayton, who has the final say, said, nope, this is what we're going to do. We're going to protect this. This is a, because it'd be great if it's growth. I almost feel like it's taken out of his hands because this is different than what we're looking at with the Chiefs. Like, this is different from the way that Brett Veach and Andy Reid's chain is. Like, we understand that Andy is, in this case, Dayton is the Andy, and Ned is more of the Brett Veach, although he has more power than Brett Veach does. So you, like, I almost feel like it came above his head. Like, this was an action where they were like, yep, yeah, I know this is not what you're comfortable with, but this is what we got to do with this kid.
He's one of our guys, our main guys moving forward. He's already 20-something innings past what he threw last year. We're not even into September yet. So I'm not going to push him for the rest of this year. I mean, he's going to get his innings in, but for me to extend him out and push him, I'm not going to do it. Just can't, you know. Other guys are going to have to pick up the slack. Other guys are going to have to come in and, you know, get a job done. We're giving everybody plenty of opportunity. he did his job, you know. He went and gave us a six, a strong six and 90-degree weather. And I'm just not pushing him. He's going to end up, you know, way over his innings limit, and just not going to push him. He's too important to our organization.
Because to add on to that, earlier in the week, pitched Lopez in a day where it could have been Brad Keller on regular rest just to give him an extra day. So, I mean, he sounds pretty convincing like this. But I know what you're saying. You covered him in Milwaukee and watching Ned that we've seen here. This goes completely against his thoughts. That's why I wonder. It feels so much stronger above him that said, man, this is what we got to do.
That audio courtesy of Fox Sports, Kansas City.
Newsflash.
Serta's newsflash.
The XFL just released the official team names for all 8 teams in their upcoming league. Got the Dallas Renegades, the Houston Roughnecks, the LA Wildcats, the New York Guardians, the St. Louis Battlehawks, the Seattle Dragons, the Tampa Bay Vipers, and the DC Defenders.
I call
the Dragons.
That league will be folded in a year and a half, 2 years max.
I'm glad you have respect for Vince McMahon. You gave him a year and two years.
No, I don't say it out of respect for him. I say it because I know he's such a
stubborn psychopath
that he will dump every dollar that he has into this destined to fail
league.
And
he has a lot. He has a lot, yeah. Because you gave the AAF, 3 months?
Right.
And you were the closest to anybody. But that's respect, I believe, from Vince McMahon.
And his pockets. I mean, they just ran out of money in the AAF. They just couldn't pay anyone. He'll be able to pay them. It's just he's going to be paying crappy players. And we like football, but we like good football, not second-rate
and football. I
BS
feel like,
football.
I think not just good football, but football of players that we are familiar.
Right. That's why the idea of Trevor Lawrence playing in the XFL, yeah, it's nice, but I need more than just one quarterback to watch a 4-quarter game.
That would not drive me. If they signed Trevor Lawrence, no. That would not drive me to watch Trevor Lawrence.
I'd watch him if I flip by and he's in the game, but I'm not going to sit there and watch on the game and bet on the game.
It wouldn't be an appointment for me.
No. Agreed.
I would watch him.
You would come in the next day and you would bitch about how bad it was.
He would just crush everybody. They wouldn't stand a chance.
I agree. That doesn't seem like entertaining
television year in the XFL.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it's true.
Oh, okay.
Tommy Maddox won the only XFL championship in league history. Trevor Lawrence, MVP every single team.
Steve, are you fresh out?
We don't have time to do another one.
We did. Before you started going.
No, we didn't. We had 40 seconds.
We didn't. We had a minute before you started yammering. All right. Many see this DeAnthony Thomas move yesterday, Bern, as something that, you know, not a big deal. It's just DeAnthony Thomas. He's a sixth or seventh receiver. But I think it could be. And I think it's not a big deal for this year, but more of a big deal for the future. We'll get into that next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.